Thanks for joining us for this special year of St. Joseph presentation from Relevant Radio, 19 on the 19th. A 19-minute talk on St. Joseph on the 19th of the month, the day dedicated to St. Joseph.
St. Joseph, the silent saint. It's interesting that there are not a lot of shrines to St. Joseph. There's not a lot of stories about visions of St. Joseph. Why? Well, number of theories. One of them is that St. Joseph doesn't say much in the New Testament. And for us, it's all about talk, 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 especially somebody like me. It's all about talking. And St. Joseph didn't talk that much. He didn't talk at all in the New Testament. So how can you have a devotion to St. Joseph? He didn't say anything. Well, he may not have said much, but he did a lot. You know, shrines to St. Joseph. The first shrine to St. Joseph is the Christmas crib. When I was a little kid, that was a vehicle of catechesis for me, seeing that crib under the tree. And there was St. Joseph on his knees. And I just knew instinctively he was there to protect the Blessed Mother and the baby Jesus. The little kid, I'm talking 4 or 5 years old. And my parents were kind of permissive. They allowed me to play with the figures in the Christmas crib. And St. Joseph, I knew what he was there for. So in a sense, the very first shrine to St. Joseph is in every home that has a Christmas crib. Use it that way. Point out to your children, be they 2, 3, 4, 5, even 1, that this is Jesus' family. And this is the guy who took care of Jesus, like your daddy takes care of you. You know, a lot of people ask me about where is St. Joseph's tomb? Where is his? We don't even have relics. I don't know that I've ever seen a relic of St. Joseph per se. Where was St. Joseph buried? Well, there is a place that claims to be the tomb of St. Joseph. Scholars don't always agree, but well, scholars don't always agree with each other about anything. But there is a tomb in the Kidron Valley near the Garden of Gethsemane, which is a traditional Jewish place of burial. There's a little church called the Church of the Sepulchre of St. Mary. It's a low, flat building. It's essentially subterranean, and there is the empty tomb of the Blessed Mother, because we and the Greek Orthodox believe that she was assumed into heaven. You don't have relics of the Blessed Mother except occasionally items of clothing that are thought to have been part of her wardrobe, but her very small, poor wardrobe. On the way down the stairs into that almost subterranean church, on the left side, I believe it is, you'll see a little chapel. And the Orthodox, who have control of that church, claim that to be the tomb of St. Joseph. There's no body in it that, of course, that would have been lost over the eons, but there is a place that's regarded as the tomb of St. Joseph. Now, some scholars say, no, that comes from the Middle Ages. Who knows? But it's a beautiful place of prayer. The sarcophagus of the Blessed Mother, the tomb of the Blessed Mother, is clearly from the first century. But, you know, that's a place to remember St. Joseph. In a sense, it's the second shrine after the Christmas crib. Then there's another shrine called Our Lady of Zaytun. Well, that's not about St. Joseph, but I want to tell you about Our Lady of Zaytun. Zaytun is a suburb of Cairo. And beginning on April 2nd, 1968, for 2.5 years, a few times a week, the Blessed Mother appeared on the roof of this Coptic church in Zaytun near Cairo, Egypt. 2 or 3 times a week for 2.5 years. There are pictures. Go to the web and look it up. Our Lady of Zaytun, Zeitoun. It's thought that perhaps millions of people saw that. Many people converted to the faith because of it. Why do I mention Zaytun? Because in a sense, it's also a shrine to St. Joseph. it's one of the places that, according to tradition, St. Joseph took the Holy Family, took our Blessed Mother and Jesus. They stayed there when they took refuge in Cairo. And occasionally, the Blessed Mother appearing on the dome of this church in Zaytun appeared also with St. Joseph. So that's a memorial of St. Joseph as well as of our Blessed Mother. But if you've never heard of Our Lady of Zaytun, do look it up. You will be amazed. Now, there are not many shrines to St. Joseph. Increasingly there are, but traditionally there are not. However, there is one in the town I believe it's, if I say it right, Cotignac in France. This is a place where in the middle, well, not in the Middle Ages, and would have been in the Renaissance era, of 1660. There was a shepherd named Gaspar Ricard who was just very thirsty. I think there was an exceptionally hot summer to the point of being a drought in France. And this poor shepherd was just so thirsty. He was a man about 22. And he turned around and there was this older fellow there who said to him, "I'm Joseph." And the man just pointed to a rock and told Gaspar to lift it. This was a huge rock, and Gaspar thought, "This is nuts." But the man had said, "If you lift it, you'll find water underneath." Well, Gaspar went up thinking he was not going to be able to lift this rock. But the man repeated his instructions, so he decided to try. And the rock moved easily, and water flowed from the hillside. Well, that convinced them to build a sanctuary. It still stands today in the town at the monastery of Bessillon, and it's a beautiful place to visit. This wonderful, wonderful place where St. Joseph, well, that's the kind of miracles I think that he did, found water when water was needed. There's another interesting place it's unfortunately no longer the property of the diocese, but it's still a fascinating place. In New Mexico, in San Antonio, there was a convent built a chapel in 1873, and they built a beautiful, beautiful chapel in the French style, the French Gothic style, which is very high. The French Gothic style invites you to look up to heaven. And, well, they put it in, and then the choir loft was put in, and the choir loft was just way, way up there. And the poor nuns, to get to the choir loft, had to climb a ladder, and it was rather frightening. And they wanted to build a stairway, and they couldn't build a stairway because it would have, the choir loft was so high that it would have taken too much room in the chapel. And so they knew what to do, and this is good advice for you. They knew what to do when there was a carpentry problem. They said the novena to St. Joseph. Well, the night they completed that novena, a carpenter knocked on their door. And as I heard the story, it was a rainy, stormy night. But the night they finished that novena, the knock on the door, and it was a carpenter who appeared just with a hammer and a carpenter's square. And he said, you need a stairway built to the choir loft. I'll build it. And so he built it. It's called the Miraculous Staircase. You can look it up. It's just made with wooden pegs. And it's a rare wood that isn't native to the area. And I had heard that there were no receipts for purchase of wood at any local lumber yards. Well, made the staircase. And this staircase looks like a spiral. It's a spiral staircase that has no center support. It's as if it's a spring suspended in midair. And if you see it now, it has railings, but it didn't have railings then. The story is told that one enthusiastic nun, who, when finally the chapel was opened and the stairway completed, she saw this and she ran up the stairs, so excited. And then she realized there were no railings and she was afraid to come down. But railings have been put in, but it's an amazing thing. I've seen it. Unfortunately, as I said, it's no longer the property of the church, but you can visit it. It's called the Miraculous Staircase. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. And then you have, of course, the National Shrine of St. Joseph in De Pere, Wisconsin, near Green Bay. That's a place I've been to also. That just a wonderful place. It is so very, I guess the word is tranquil. It's a beautiful shrine, and it's just sponsored by, it was built by Father Durand, and I think it was finished when was it finished? I think 1892. Pope Leo XIII recognizes the National Shrine of St. Joseph, and eventually the image was consecrated by the bishop, and St. Joseph wearing a crown, and that's appropriate. He's from the royal house of David. Well, then it was moved across the street to the current location in 1969 at St. Norbert's Abbey. And it's a beautiful, tranquil place. If you're in that part of Wisconsin near Green Bay, do visit it. It's just a wonderful place of prayer. I highly recommend it. However, the shrine to St. Joseph is, of course, in Montreal. And it's one that's particularly dear to me. This is the Oratory of Mount Royal, or Oratoire Saint-Joseph du Mont Royal. Forgive my French, it's not so good. But it's a vast, beautiful building. It's huge. It's this Renaissance-style building, and the interior is more modern. Beautiful crypt, and the reason it's kind of special to me is because of its association with Saint André Bessette. He's the cousin, distant enough, of my sister-in-law. May she rest in peace. But we knew about Brother André. We called him Brother André because that's what my sister-in-law Jean called him, Brother André. And she had a great devotion to Brother André. And long before he was even venerable, the family talked about Brother André. And Brother André had a great devotion to St. Joseph. And the reason I bring this up, and it's so dear to me, is because it really challenged me. As I was coming back to a more traditional kind of faith, I thought, how can someone have a devotion to St. Joseph? My Brother André was just devoted to St. Joseph. He would say, go to Joseph, go to Joseph. Brother André had amazing gifts of healing. He was a truly a miracle worker, but he never took credit. It's the Lord did it through St. Joseph. And he would anoint people with oil from the lamps around the shrine of St. Joseph. And, you can still get that oil up there, St. Joseph's oil. I thought, how can you have a devotion to someone who doesn't say anything? What are you going to learn from him? And I realized, and I hope it was the Holy Spirit that showed me this, that St. Joseph teaches us. Now, hold on. This is going to be a little startling. He teaches us how to be the parents of God. Parents of God? Oh, yeah. You see, we're children of God. And we talk so much about being the children of God, but do you realize that God is put in your safekeeping? That, you know, I'm sure if you've ever heard me talk, you know I love Eucharistic miracles. And when they analyze these hosts that have become visibly flesh and blood, which happens more often than you think, invariably it's heart tissue. And think about it. God is putting into your hands his very heart. What's our heart if not our children? You know, you hear people say, I don't care what you do to me, you touch my kid, I'll kill you. That's, our children are our heart. Well, God in Holy Communion puts the heart of his heart into your keeping. What a responsibility. How do you handle that? Well, I quote Brother André, go to Joseph. Joseph is the example of how to care for the Son of God put into your safekeeping. You see, he teaches us how to be the father and mothers, the parents of God. It isn't just a matter of talking. It's a matter of doing, to protect what is innocent, to protect what is weak. This is the call that we get through the life of Joseph. You know, every day, Jesus heard the sound of hammer on nail as Joseph prepared him wordlessly for the crucifixion. Because the last sound that Jesus heard in his mortal body was the sound of hammer on nails. Joseph taught him in the carpenter shop, taught him his trade, and reminded him every day that he had come as the Lamb of God to be a sacrifice to his true father. Joseph isn't silent, hardly. Joseph speaks eloquently through what he did and what he does. Saint Joseph, a mighty patron, a guardian, who prepared Christ for the crucifixion, who guarded the Blessed Mother. No matter what it took, he kept them safe until he died. You know, I will always be grateful to Brother Andre, Saint Andre Bessette, for teaching me to love Saint Joseph and to realize that I have a father. I think that Saint Andre, Brother Andre, developed a special fondness for Saint Joseph because, well, he had lost his mother and father when he was quite young. And sometimes we need a parent, and God is our father. However, sometimes we need a father who's a little more tangible. We need a foster father. And that foster father who protected Jesus, that foster father who is so little thought of in the world because, well, he was quiet. He's quiet because he's watching. He's guarding. And he's quiet. That makes him all the more able to listen, to hear. So never hesitate to ask St. Joseph's intercession and to ask his protection and to help prepare you for what you need to face in your life just in the way that St. Joseph faced it. You know, there's a beautiful prayer to St. Joseph. To thee, O blessed Joseph, we have recourse in our affliction, having implored the help of your holy spouse. Now with hearts full of confidence, we beg you to take us under your protection by that charity which united you to the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God, and by that fatherly love with which you cherish the Christ child. We ask you and humbly pray that you look down with gracious eye upon that inheritance which Jesus Christ purchased by his blood, and help us in our need by your power and strength. Defend, most watchful guardian of the Holy Family, the offspring of Christ. Keep from us, O most loving Father, all blight of error and corruption. Aid us from on high, most valiant defender, in this conflict with the powers of darkness. And even as old you did rescue the Christ child from the peril of his life, so now defend God's holy church from the snares of the enemy and from all adversity. Shield us under your patronage, so that following your example, strengthened by your help, we may lead a holy life, die a happy death, and attain to everlasting bliss in heaven. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this special Year of St. Joseph presentation from Relevant Radio. Invite your friends and family to sign up to receive these monthly talks at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.